Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on working with XML file format in Microsoft Office 2007. My name is Valerie Lee. Microsoft has moved to the Open XML format for the Microsoft Office 2007 suite. So let's start by briefly introducing the key areas that explain why this move was made. The Open XML format was adopted by Microsoft in its Office 2007 suite, and we'll look at the benefits it provides and the different ways that using the Open XML format allows you to become more productive and efficient when solving business problems. We will explore the new file structure for Office 2007 documents, including examples in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint documents, and see how these application files can include additional information and easily integrate with one another using the XML file format. Finally, we will look at how developers can take advantage of the Office 2007 architecture when creating their solutions. Using the System I/O packaging namespace, developers can create and integrate their own Microsoft Office solutions into their custom application development. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of what would be helpful, but not essential, for the session. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. It will help to have some familiarity with previous versions of Microsoft Office products and how they work and integrate with one another. Although Microsoft Office 2007 presents a fundamental shift in Office interoperability, it is helpful to know the history of how these products work together. It will also be helpful to be familiar with the basics of XML and its general structure. This will make the discussion of the new XML tags in Office 2007 more meaningful. Finally, it will be helpful to be familiar with Visual Studio 2005 at a cursory level. You do not need to be an expert, but a general understanding of the IDE will help facilitate the discussion on Office 2007 for developers. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. We'll begin the session by introducing you to the Open XML format and how Microsoft Office 2007 has fully leveraged the Open XML format to create more robust and extensible documents that can be used across a number of different platforms. Then we'll introduce the file structure of Word 2007 documents. Specifically, we'll look at the different parts that make up a Word document. We'll then look at the file structure of Excel 2007 documents. We'll take a closer look at the relationships between workbooks and worksheets in this new format. We then will look at the file structure of PowerPoint 2007 documents. We will look at how PowerPoint handles the overall general format of slides and how they interact with one another. Finally, we'll look at how the Microsoft Office 2007 architecture and the Microsoft.NET framework allows developers to generate customized Microsoft Office 2007 documents easily without any third-party tools. Let's start with a review of the history of Microsoft Office documents. The first version of Microsoft Office arrived with Microsoft Office 97, which was designed in 1994. This productivity suite preceded XML specifications, and the files were stored in binary file format. With Microsoft Office 2000, XML document properties were introduced. When Microsoft Office XP arrived, it was the first Office suite providing an XML format that was leveraged in the spreadsheet XML. With the Microsoft Office 2003 Office system, XML support became mainstream, including WordML, SpreadsheetML, and custom-defined schema. Now with Microsoft Office 2007, documents created will exclusively use the XML file format definition instead of the traditional binary format, which leads to greater interoperability and efficiency when building solutions using these products. Now let's take a look at the benefits of the Open XML format in Microsoft Office 2007. Using the Open XML format has a number of benefits. One of the most important benefits is that it is open and royalty-free. The Open XML format is based on XML and ZIP technologies, which makes it accessible to many different applications. The specification for the format and schemas will be published and made available under the same royalty-free license that exists today for the Microsoft Office 2003 reference schemas, and which is openly offered and available for broad industry use. With industry standard XML at the core of the OpenXML format, exchanging data between Microsoft Office applications and enterprise business systems is greatly simplified. Without requiring access to the Microsoft Office applications, solutions can alter information inside a Microsoft Office document, or create a document entirely from scratch by using standard tools and technologies capable of manipulating XML. The openness of the OpenXML format translates to more secure and transparent files. Documents can be shared confidently because personally identifiable information and business-sensitive information, such as usernames, comments, and file paths, can be easily identified and removed. Similarly, files containing content, such as OLE objects or Visual Basic for Applications, VBA code, can be identified for special processing. The OpenXML format has been designed to be more robust than the binary formats and therefore will reduce the risk of lost information due to damaged or corrupted files. Even documents created or altered outside of Microsoft Office are less likely to be corrupt, as Office programs have been designed to recover documents with improved reliability by using the new format. The OpenXML format uses zip and compression technologies to store our documents. This type of file compression offers potential cost savings since it reduces the disk space required to store files and decreases the bandwidth needed to transport files by way of email over networks and across the web. All of these qualities are what make up the OpenXML format and why Microsoft chose to leverage this format throughout the Microsoft Office 2007 suite. Now that we have looked at the OpenXML format and its benefits, let's examine the components that make up the Office documents. At the core of the new Microsoft Office OpenXML format is the use of XML reference schemas and a zip container. The combination of XML and zip allows for a highly robust and modular format that enables a large number of new scenarios. Zip was chosen because it is a well-understood industry standard. There are many tools available today to work with the zip format, and using zip provides a flexible, modular structure that allows for an expansion of functionality going forward. Therefore, developers who have access to the complete contents of Office 2007 documents by using any of the numerous tools and technologies that work with industry standard zip files. Once a container package file has been opened, developers can manipulate any of the document parts found within the package that define the document. For instance, a developer can open a Word document that uses the OpenXML format, locate the XML part that represents the body of the Word document, alter the part by using any technology capable of editing XML, and return the XML part to the container package to create an updated Microsoft Office document. This scenario is only one of the essentially countless others that will be possible as a result of the new format. Each file is composed of a collection of any number of parts. This collection defines the document. Document parts are held together by the container file or package using the industry standard zip format. All the Office programs share some types of parts, such as thumbnail, metadata, and relationship parts. Others exist consistently within all files as a specific part, such as document properties. Many parts, however, are unique to the application document type they represent. For example, a worksheet part will only be found in an Excel document, while a slide master part will only appear in a PowerPoint document. Parts can be of different physical content types. Parts used to describe Microsoft Office program data are stored as XML. These parts conform to the XML reference schema that defines the associated Microsoft Office feature or object. For example, in an Excel file, the data that represents a worksheet is found in an XML part that adheres to the Microsoft Office schema for an Excel worksheet. In addition, if there were multiple worksheets in a workbook, there would be a corresponding XML part stored in the package file for each worksheet. All of the schemas that represent parts of Microsoft Office documents will be fully documented and made available from Microsoft with a royalty-free usage license. Then, by using any standard XML-based technologies, developers can apply their knowledge of the Microsoft Office schemas to easily parse and create Microsoft Office 2007 documents. Whereas parts are the individual elements that make up a Microsoft Office document, relationships are the method used to specify how the collections of parts come together to form the actual document. Relationships are defined by using XML, which specifies the connection between a source part and a target resource. For example, the connection between a slide and an image that appears in the slide is identified by a relationship. Relationships themselves are stored within XML parts or relationship parts in the document container. If a source part has multiple relationships, all subsequent relationships are listed in the same XML relationship part. Relationships play a key role in the open XML format, and every part is referenced by at least one relationship. The implementation of relationships makes it possible for parts to never directly reference other parts, and connections between parts are directly discoverable without having to look within the content of parts. Within parts, all references to relationships are represented using a relationship ID, which allows all connections between parts to stay independent of content-specific schema. Now let's take a closer look at Word documents. In this section, the XML architecture of Microsoft Office documents, specifically Word documents, is discussed. There is a fundamental shift in how Microsoft Office documents are accessed and altered. This section provides more detail on how these documents are delineated. First, let's look at the architecture of the OpenXML format. With the OpenXML format, each file can be compartmentalized as a group of document parts. Most of these parts are XML-based, and each XML part is a discrete, compressed component. With these parts, users can add, extract, and even modify individual parts without using any Microsoft Office programs. In addition, if one of the parts is corrupted or missing, the file can still be opened. This provides a significant advantage over earlier versions, where this type of versatility was not possible. For example, users can view a Word document as a single file, but to developers, a single file is actually a file container encapsulating a number of different components. There are document properties describing the document. There can also be comments, which display any comments that were added to the file, possibly by a reviewer or collaborator. The main body of the document is enclosed in Word ML or Spreadsheet ML. The container can also hold custom-defined XML content, which can be displayed in the document. This container also holds images, video, and sound objects that can be embedded in the document. Furthermore, custom embedded code or macros are compartmentalized into their own part in the file container. Finally, chart objects have their own part within the file container. This provides a significant benefit to developers who want to update and/or enhance Word applications. Since these parts are separated from one another, not only does document generation become easier, but document management and enhancements become easier as well. Now that we examine the architecture, let's see a demonstration on Word 2007 and its file structure. In this demonstration, we'll introduce the Word 2007 file structure. We'll also look at how to create a Word document from scratch. In the three demonstrations of this session, we'll work with the XML format files used by Microsoft Office Word 2007, Excel 2007, and PowerPoint 2007. The goal is to become familiar with the concepts of the file format and how they are implemented by each of the applications. One of the first things you may notice about the new user interface in Office 2007 is that the file menu no longer exists. Following the new Microsoft Windows Vista layout, there's an Office key, which allows you to access the common functions that previously existed under the File menu, such as New, Save, and Exit. The toolbars of previous Office products have been extended into a number of different tabs that contain functions, such as formatting and styling. Another noticeable difference in the interface is that when you hover the mouse over different toolbar components, such as styles, you see a preview of what your text will look like prior to selecting the actual style. Finally, it is much easier to add external components, such as images or clip art, into your Word document. As stated earlier, each of Office products, which incorporates the OpenXML5 format, stores all the information in a container leveraging ZIP technology. This allows users and developers to access the properties of the document much easier and to make document modifications directly in one common place. In the root of every 2007 release XML document is a part named ContentTypes.xml. Its purpose is to identify every unique type of part found within the document. Relationships represent a connection between two parts. Relationships themselves are XML parts that are stored within a subfolder named _RELS. Any part that has a related parts will contain a sibling folder called _RELS, which in turn contains a part defining its relationships. The subfolder is created in the same folder as the part for which the relationship is being created. Document properties in the 2007 release file format are structured consistently across the three Microsoft Office system programs. Separated into three logical XML parts, they are stored in the DocProps subfolder. This makes them easy for developers to access because they are always in the same location and not mixed in among other document content. The core.xml part holds the typical document properties that users fill out to identify documents, such as title, subject, and author. The custom.xml part contains any custom document properties added to the document by a user, developer, or custom logic. The app.xml part consists of a unique property specific to the document and an application level. The majority of the content-specific parts reside inside the Word subfolder. Once again, there is a relationship subfolder named _RELS. Inside the _RELS subfolder, the relationships used to link all document parts are found in a part called document.xml.rels. Relationships use IDs and URIs to locate parts. This allows all non-relationships parts to be void of any hard-coded references. The Word folder also contains a number of files that pertain to global stylistic settings, such as different available fonts, file settings, and even web settings if the file is to be deployed to the web. In Word 2007, all the content information is stored in the document.xml file. This file is where all the text is stored, as well as any references to external objects, such as images, macros, or VBA objects. Changing text in this file is as easy as finding the text that you want to alter, and then expanding or truncating the text that is to be displayed. Each of the text sessions is delineated by a W:P tag, which denotes a distinct part in the document. Not only can you change text, you can also alter styles that were applied to text. Each section is separated into its own distinct part in the document. To remove a section of the document, simply delete that section of the XML file. After the changes are made and the document is updated in the ZIP container, the changes can be seen in the Word document. The ZIP file extension is first changed back to the Word extension, and then the file can be viewed in Word 2007 with the new changes. When the document opens, we can see that we've added the text, it's easy to change text, and we change the style format of the second line to Heading 1. Another extended feature in Word 2007 is the usage of content controls. These can contain plain text, images, drop-down lists, calendars, combo boxes, rich text boxes, and building blocks. Word 2007 leverages this technology in its built-in templates. In this example, we'll look at a business letter to see how these controls work. After you access the zip container for this file, you will see a new folder in the container called Custom XML. This folder contains an XML file, item1.xml, which allows you to fill some of the content control fields in the business letter. In this file, you have control over the organization name, fax, phone, and email information that is displayed in the Word document. Again, this file must be copied back into the zip container, and then once the document extension is switched back to the Word extension, the changes can be seen. Once you open the document, you can see that the company name, fax, phone, and email information are filled in based on the information stored in the item1.xml file. Let's look at how Excel has implemented the OpenXML format in its file structure. In this section, we'll look at the properties of both workbooks and worksheets and how they are accessed. What are the properties of workbooks? You can still think of Excel 2007 documents in terms of workbooks and worksheets. At the workbook level, there is information pertaining to the properties of the workbook, including the different views of the workbooks and the last saved version. Within each workbook, there must be at least one worksheet, but it can contain many other worksheets, just as with previous versions. These worksheets can be a spreadsheet if spreadsheet functionality is required. A chart sheet can also be added if the data is to be represented in a graphical manner. A macro sheet may be included if there are common functions that must be repeatedly performed. Finally, a dialog sheet may be integrated if the application has implemented a form-based solution. Now that we examine the workbook, let's look at the worksheets. Within these sheets, there are a number of different properties that exist. With all spreadsheets, there are sheet and cell features that are contained with the sheet properties. As well, if a user has added comments, those comments are found in a container. All formulas, references, and defined names are also contained in the worksheet so that they can be added to, updated, or modified as necessary. Even specialty functions, such as auto filters, which filter the columns, or external links, which can be general links or special directory relationships, are contained in the document structure so that they can be modified easily if necessary. Pivot tables, which summarize selected data cells, can also be easily added through the interface. Finally, query tables can be added using a wizard interface, allowing you to select and insert external data directly into the spreadsheet. Now that we've examined the worksheet, let's look more closely at formulas. One particular area of interest in Excel spreadsheets is the use of formulas, since they can become quite complex. Reuse of these formulas is paramount as spreadsheets are modified or updated. To help facilitate this, Excel saves the formula exactly how it is seen at runtime in the cell, which provides a greater level of confidence that the formulas will be preserved. Internally, Excel must reparse the formula each time the spreadsheet is loaded. Then it must deserialize the formula whenever it saves the document. Although this takes some additional time, its effect is fairly minimal and the benefit of formula preservation outweighs the negligible effect on performance. Now that we examined an overview of Excel, let's see a demonstration on how Excel performs. In this demonstration, we'll introduce you to Excel 2007 and its file structure within workbooks and worksheets. We'll also see how to build a simple spreadsheet from the ground up. In Microsoft Excel 2007, documents using the new XML file format share a number of similarities with Word 2007. These include how they store a document properties, their use of relationships, and their ability to store binaries as complete files. Just as with previous versions, a wide variety of data types can be entered directly into the spreadsheet. Formulas can still be applied to the numeric values entered into the cells. However, access to these functions is now found under the Formulas tab instead of through the menu bar. Common functions such as fill down still exist, but are found under the Home tab. Charting in Excel 2007 has been localized in the Chart tab. This provides faster access to commonly utilized chart types, making chart creation much easier. You can also choose adjacent cells and still create appropriate charts based on your needs. You will notice that the chart wizard is absent when creating charts. This change allows you to embed or add basic charts more easily to your workbook without as much upfront configuration. Just as with Word 2007, saving a file in Excel 2007 requires either clicking the Office key or clicking the Save icon next to the Office key. With the Open XML file format in Excel 2007, there is a hierarchy within the zip container. Each container holds one workbook, which contains one-to-many worksheets within it. This allows you to access worksheets separately without having to access the whole workbook. Similar to the Word subfolder in an Office Word 2007 document, the Excel subfolder contains the core parts that make up an Excel 2007 workbook. There is a workbook part that holds the workbook level properties, such as the window position and calculation settings, as well as the relationship IDs to the various sheets contained in the workbook. The container also has a shared string table in a part called sharedstrings.xml. This allows the application to parse files faster with loading and saving workbooks. Each unique text value found within a workbook is listed once in this part. Styles also exist in their own part, as they did in Word 2007, allowing easy access to view or change formatting features found in a workbook. Individual worksheet cells then reference a string table to determine their value. This can be useful in a number of scenarios. For example, it allows you to support multiple languages for users that share one workbook. By swapping out one sharedstrings.xml part for another in the container file, you can easily switch the display text in a workbook from one language to another. Other parts found in an Excel 2007 workbook container include items that represent individual worksheets, charts, pivot tables, and other Excel-type content. This modular use of parts allows you to easily locate specific elements and work directly with them versus having to work with a single, more complex XML document. In this example, we will look at one of the charts, which we put into separate worksheets. We will then look at the specific worksheet that contains all the data. In the data worksheet, the formulas that were used are stored in this file exactly as they are written in the worksheet. This allows you to modify the file with new formulas that will be utilized when the spreadsheet is opened again in Excel 2007. Within these files, you can change static text just as easily as you did in the Word 2007 files. The next time this file is opened in Excel, these changes will be reflected. However, changing a formula is somewhat more complicated. Since this file contains statically stored data, when the formula is updated and reopened in Excel, the calculations must be reworked to ensure that the correct values are still in the spreadsheet. Once the changes are applied, the file is brought back into the container, and the container is renamed. The file can then be reopened in Excel, where you see that the formula has changed, but the calculated value will not change until the formula is revalidated. After the changes have been applied, you will see that both charts in the workbook do not show any results. This is a direct result of renaming the data sheet from Sheet 1 to Data. For the charts to render correctly, the references must also be updated. After opening the zip container, you can change all the references in Chart 1 and Chart 2 to reference the data worksheet instead of the Sheet 1 worksheet. After the sheets are on the desktop, we can modify the contents of the bar chart worksheet with Notepad. After the changes have been made, we can save the file and exit Notepad. We must also change the chart2.xml file with updated references to display the pie chart correctly. After the changes have been made, we can replace the chart files in the container. After the file is renamed and opened in Excel 2007, you will see that the references have been updated correctly and charts display the values. Excel 2007 also has a number of different installed templates, which can be used as base templates for projects. In this example, we will look at the time card template and customize it to our specific needs. By default, as you enter data in the time card, the spreadsheet will keep track of not only the time entered per day, but also how much time has been entered per week. If you enter a value that exceeds 24 hours, an error message appears in the total column, indicating that values greater than 24 have been entered. Now we save the document to the desktop so that we can change how the time card works. In our example, we want to display an error message if a worker enters values that exceed 20 hours. This requires a change to the calculated formula in the table1.xml file. This type of customization opens a number of different opportunities for developers because it doesn't require that you have Excel installed to make changes. This format also allows a greater number of developers to work with these documents. Now we can save the document and replace the other document in the Tables folder. As with the previous formula change, once the new Excel file is opened, you will see a smart tag warning you to update the formula in the other cells. Once the column formulas have been updated, you will see the changes in the spreadsheet. Let's see what's next on the agenda. In this section of the presentation, we will look at the file structure of PowerPoint and how it has adopted the OpenXML format. This is a new feature in Microsoft Office 2007, and this section focuses on the overall slide structure and components of each slide, as well as interoperability with other applications. This first part of this section starts by discussing different scenarios in which Microsoft Office applications can be used to create solutions. Then we discuss how PowerPoint's structure is better equipped to address these scenarios. What are some scenarios that Microsoft Office can try to address? Since XML is a popular standard for exchanging data, the new OpenXML format makes document-based data more accessible between applications. Since the files are no longer restricted by the binary format, their document data can be shared between departments or even among partnered organizations exchanging business data. With content manipulation, Word provides a container-structured document fragment that is referenced by the overall document when opened in Word. This allows you to create a library of document fragments that can be integrated and reused whenever needed in a Word document solution. With Excel, there is a shared string table in which each unique text value found within a workbook is listed. The worksheet cells reference the string table to derive their values. This becomes quite useful for multinational organizations that want to use the same workbook across a number of different languages. They can create specific string tables for each language while using the same workbook. Finally, with PowerPoint, you can now access slide and note content much more easily. Searching on presentation content is easier too. Since the OpenXML format is modular, it is easier to create new content and then reuse it across a number of different applications. This means that developers can now build templates and reuse them, or portions of them, to create customized documents. There are several content sharing opportunities that are now possible because of this accessible format. With the OpenXML format, users can now create documents much more simply without automating the Microsoft Office applications. Previously, this took a significant amount of time to implement and use. With the new format, developers will be able to create new documents by generating the parts that are required for their specific needs without any interaction with the Office objects. The OpenXML format provides a more secure environment for developers when developing their content. With this format, developers can build solutions that search for and remove any potential vulnerabilities before they cause trouble. With the OpenXML format, developers can now more easily search and find sensitive information, like comments, in a document. Then they can either remove them or prevent the document from being sent until the sensitive information has been removed or modified. As with most aspects of Microsoft Office documents, document styling properties are stored as a separate XML part within the container package. Because these documents are stored separately, they can be used as templates when creating new documents. Keep in mind that all these document style changes can happen completely outside of Microsoft Office, which again shows how versatile this architecture is. As with previous versions of Microsoft Office, document profiling allows users to identify an author, title, and subject with their document. Document profiling has become easier to update since all the document properties are stored in their own XML file, which can be readily accessed. So, how are PowerPoint presentations viewed? A PowerPoint presentation contains a number of different parts, which are either visible to the user or encapsulated internally within the file container. Items such as the theme, the fonts, the view properties, presentation properties, and code are all internal facets of the presentation. Meanwhile, slide masters act as templates for each slide. Note masters are the templates for the note slide, and the handout masters are the templates for the handout slides, which are changeable by end users and will affect all new slides that are created. So what is the slide structure in PowerPoint 2007? In PowerPoint 2007, the primary starting point or root node of a presentation is the presentation.xml file. This file contains information about the actual presentation. As with any presentation, the slide is the basic structural unit, and PowerPoint has six different types of slides. Included in these types is the basic slide type, as well as slide masters, which can be used as an overall theme template throughout a presentation. In addition, there are slide layouts that are used as specific templates, depending on what type of information you want to present. For example, you might use one layout if you want to display a title with a bulleted list versus displaying a title with a list in a graphic. Furthermore, there are slide types for note slides and note slide masters that allow you to create consistent note slides throughout the presentation. Finally, there are handout master slides that provide a consistent look for any handouts that might be created. All these slide types are derived from a common base and are differentiated by additional data. For example, notes masters would not contain an animation timeline since they are a static slide type. Finally, it is important to note that the most important data on a slide is the shape tree since it contains virtually all the content for a slide. Now let's look at a demonstration that illustrates the basic format of a presentation. In this demonstration, we'll introduce you to PowerPoint and its file structure, and we will build a simple presentation from the ground up. Microsoft Office PowerPoint 2007 joins Excel 2007 in having a full fidelity XML-based file format for the first time in the 2007 release. Office PowerPoint 2007 also benefits from the use of many different XML parts to define a document, making it easy to work with specific aspects of a presentation, such as slide notes, masters, or styles. Again, PowerPoint leverages the same user interface as Word and Excel. By default, you can create a blank presentation and begin adding your title slide. You can also easily add external objects, such as images, in PowerPoint 2007. Finally, you can add objects that were created in other applications, such as Excel 2007. This interoperability between Office components makes these products quite powerful. Now that the slideshow has been saved, we can look at the parts that make up the presentation. Just as with the Word 2007 Word folder and the Excel 2007 Excel folder, the PPT folder in a PowerPoint 2007 document contains the majority of parts that make up a presentation. With its highly modular format, contents within a presentation document can easily be accessed by part type. The presentation.xml file contains a listing of all the slides that are contained in the presentation. As with the previously examined programs, by accessing a PowerPoint slide in the Slides folder, you can change the text that is displayed in that slide. You can also change the references to a chart that was copied from Excel. Since the data was extracted from Excel, the complete chart listing is copied into the Charts folder of the PowerPoint presentation. So changing references to the worksheet in the chart1.xml file should not have an effect on the display of the chart in the presentation. You can also change the image that displays in a slide for replacing an image file that is stored in the Media folder. This folder can contain all types of media, but in this example, there is only one image stored here. After you open the presentation in PowerPoint, you may notice a few things. The first slide does not reflect the changes that were made. In the second slide, the image displayed is the image that was replaced by the original. However, in the third slide, the graph looks the same despite the changes that were made on the chart sheet. It is important to note that this was only a slice of the data that was stored in the spreadsheet, not a link to it. So any changes made in the original Excel spreadsheet or in the slice would not be reflected in either of the corresponding charts. Templates are also a part of PowerPoint 2007. These templates act as a good starting point for users who want help creating a presentation framework. In this example, we will look at the quiz show template and see how we can modify it to suit our needs. After the presentation is saved, you can change the extension to access the zip container. Once you access the zip container, you will see that there are a number of new folders. Specifically, there are master folders such as Handout Masters, Notes Masters, and Slide Masters. The master files are used when new slides are created. In the Slides folder, there is a file for each slide within the presentation. You can easily alter a slide by simply adding a new attribute to the document part. Let's see what's next on the agenda. In this final section, you are presented with different classes in .NET Framework 2.0 that allows you to create your own customized Microsoft Office document without having to work directly with Microsoft Office. First, we'll look at the Packaged class. In this last section, we'll look at how managed developers can take advantage of this new file structure. In the .NET Framework 2.0, the package class provides a number of methods to create, enumerate, and delete the following entities. Packages can be created, as well as the package relationships. Package properties can be defined. Finally, package parts can be outlined. This provides a significant advantage for developers because they have a lot more control over the documents that they are creating. What about the relationship class? Developers can work directly with the package relationships, which ties all the parts together. Relationships are essential to finding all the parts since the part names are not always guaranteed, meaning that relationships are vital in the document. Developers can iterate through the relationship collection by the type of relationship or by the idea of the relationship. Finally, each relationship has a number of different properties that can be accessed. Included in these properties is the relationship ID, package, relationship type, source URI, target mode, and target URI. Within the document, each XML part is tied together by one-to-many part relationships. What about the package part class? Developers also have access to the package part class, which allows you to access the parts that are the atomic pieces of data within the package. With package part, you can also create, enumerate, and delete part relationships. You also get the parts as a stream, which means you can change the XML data and then return the data as a stream. Finally, each package part has a number of properties that are available, such as compression option, content type, package, and URI. These properties enhance how you interact with the package part. For example, you can take a specific XML part out of a document, make a change, and replace the part without having to open the whole document. Let's review what we have covered today. In this presentation, you saw how the OpenXML format adopted by the Microsoft Office suite enhances the overall product usage. This is important because now a number of different developer problems can be solved using Microsoft Office 2007. With Microsoft Office 2007, overall productivity increases for developers and users alike. With increased interoperability, security, and content reuse, developers can create customized documents much more easily with more reliability. Finally, developers have access to many more options in creating solutions using Microsoft Office 2007. Not only can they build solutions using Microsoft Office products, they can also build solutions using their favorite XML editor, and even create Office solutions using managed code. This leads to better solutions for companies and their users. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/DSK-50 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The Skills Assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and Visual Studio .NET. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals, and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. you can become a fully certified System Administrator, or MCSA, System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCB. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, please welcome Caroline McGrath, TechNet Relationship Marketing Manager.
For IT professionals, all the resources in the TechNet program will give you the support you need to be successful with our technology. Whether you are deploying new software, managing a server environment, or troubleshooting, TechNet has a resource for you. Use the web for immediate access to documentation, knowledge base, scripts, downloads, and more. Webcasts and events will give you deep insight into specific technology topics. Keep up to date with technology news using the TechNet Flash. This is a twice-monthly newsletter that you can customize to give you information about the specific technology that interests you. With more time to read, the TechNet magazine is an excellent resource offering in-depth articles written by industry-leading technologists. If you want to ensure that you have all of the essential resources at your fingertips, the TechNet subscription is for you. It includes full version software and betas so that you can evaluate our technology at your own pace. No time bombs, so your product analysis won't time out. It includes two complimentary telephone support incidents. Talk to Microsoft technical professionals to help you with whatever challenges you may encounter with the software. That is $500 worth of value. The TechNet subscription is a great value to all IT professionals. Finally, we have TechNet VLabs. Use this to get your hands on the technology in a hosted environment. You can explore how it works, run different scenarios, and have a full product experience without having to dedicate your time to deploy and manage the hardware to do so yourself. Overall, the TechNet program has all of the resources you need to get the most out of Microsoft technology. TechNet Plus subscription. What is it? Get hands-on experience with the technology through software and betas, including Office, Windows, and servers. Support when you need it, including two free telephone support incidents. Easy access to information via updates, utilities, white papers, knowledge base, and more. Work on your skills at your own pace, e-learning courses and training. The TechNet Plus subscription. That's what it is. Need support? Answers are standing by. You have a choice of three support offerings from Microsoft. Firstly, we have online and self-help. Choose from the TechNet website, the Security Center Online, Knowledge Base, Product Support Centers, the TechNet Script Center, News Groups, User Groups, and the TechNet Plus subscription. Secondly, we have assisted incidents. Assisted incidents include email support, phone support contracts, advisory services. Finally, contract-based support. Contract-based support is offered to organizations and consists of premier support or essential support. Thank you for listening to this TechNet session.